My second prediction is bats.
Bats!
And that's it. Hello, and welcome to Fairy Tale Fix, which I'm not sure who's on the intro.
I thought it was you last time.
Okay, sorry.
I just edited the episode.
You're right. I just listened to the episodes. Anywho, regardless of who's supposed to be starting the intro, I am Kelsey.
And I'm Abby.
We've done this 86 times now and counting.
and we're still having a little pointing war over our screen of like, who's on the intro, like me or you? We just like point at each other.
I was probably looking at last week's episode. Because we don't have like who's on the intro, we have who's on the outro. You're right.
It says outro done by Abby on episode 87. So
you're right. That was my bad. It's because I was face. Right before we started talking, I started writing a description for last week's episode.
Oh, ooh, well, okay. Hang on.
Welcome to the insider production talk for Fairy
Tale. This is production corner.
This is background. I also got distracted because I remembered we have a new Apple review that I wanted to read on the podcast.
Oh, please do. Take it away.
Okay. So this is by, I think, Amused My. Okay. It says.
We love you, Amused My.
Amused My, who left this review for us. Thank you for reviewing our podcast and giving us 5 stars. We really appreciate that.
New favorite listener. You have pushed Rabia off the top of the mountain, and it's you now.
Our new favorite. The headline of this review is, "My 16-year-old has sworn off this podcast." So I feel like we're off to a really strong start. It says, "Abby and Kelsey joined me on a road trip last fall to buy several $100 worth of art supplies from an estate sale," which when I first read this, I was still sick and really confused by this. I was like literally trying to remember me and Abby going on a road trip. I was so sick. I was like, I took like a good, like maybe like 5 minutes being like, who is this?
You were so blurry.
"The art supplies are still sitting here untouched, but I have listened to every episode here since. Productivity. I did share some episode listening with my 16-year-old daughter, but she has sworn it off since hearing the most of teeth in the wrong places." Which is fair.
Yeah, it's totally fair. If there was an episode where you were like, you know what? I'm done with this. That would be the one.
100%. They go on. "I could feel her squirming and cringing in the car. I had to turn it off. To her great relief, she cried, 'Oh, turn that embarrassment off.' And I guess what I'm trying to say is this podcast isn't for everyone, but I'm pretty sure I need to convince Abby and Kelsey to go on another road trip with me." Amused My, absolutely. We'd love to go on another road trip with you.
Literally anytime.
And I'm so happy and like in glee that I got to help make a 16-year-old cringe and squirm, because that's funny.
It's truly a dream come true.
Uh-huh.
It's podcast goals.
I want to put that review on like a coaster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too. It's so funny. Sweet. Yeah, so sweet and so funny. Like, thank you. I'm so glad we were able to keep you good company on your road trip.
Yeah, thank you so much for leaving that review, and we really appreciate you listening. We can't wait for the next road trip. And hey, if you bought art supplies, share pictures of your art with us. We'd love to see it.
Well, I mean, I think they were implying they haven't used them.
Yeah, but once you do, that's fine. You know, I like buy tons and tons of yarn when it's on sale, you know, and then mm-hmm. save it for when I feel like crocheting.
You know, that's fair. That's fair enough. You know, I am curious about what the art supplies were.
Yeah, is it like paint? Is it?
Yeah, paint, yarn.
Charcoal?
Yeah. What was it?
Yeah, send us a message and let us know. And also tell your daughter we said, sorry.
Sorry. Like, legitimately, sorry.
Teeth in the wrong places is definitely a special one.
It's so special. It's so dear to my heart, though. I think very fondly of that story. I enjoy retelling it to people.
It's very fun. I especially like funny. The ending. Coyote made that story. He's a fun hero.
He's a perfect protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
We love him.
So anyway, that's all I had to share. Luckily, I'm not sick anymore. And
yay, I'm glad.
Much better. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing good. I did a lot of like yard work this morning.
Oh,
so I feel very productive. Yeah, I have a very, very small lawn because I live in a row house. So, you know, I have my very, very small lawn out front, but it's on a horrible little hill. So it's actually very hard to mow. And Steven and I have like a hand like pusher mowing thing. Oh, okay. So it's not electrical. It's purely just a mechanical thing you push, and it's got a little blade.
So it's a workout.
It is a workout. Like it, because it's also having to push it uphill. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually like almost done, and then our neighbor got home, and like he parked outside his house, and he like came up and like said hi, and he was like, you know, I have a small electric mower that you can borrow.
Oh, that's nice.
It was really nice of him. So next time I will be texting Cameron.
You're like, yep, I will borrow his electric mower.
Yes, please.
Because you've mentioned that your yard has been one of your like New Year's goals.
Steven and I have sworn this is the year we're serious. We're serious.
I love that. You should just like put a bunch of wildflower seeds or whatever.
That's what I would like to do, because then that's like pretty low maintenance. But what Steven wants to do, which I understand where he's coming from, because it's a lower maintenance idea, is kind of taking out all the grass and putting wood chips down.
Okay, yeah.
And then having like potted plants in sort of like a tiered fashion outside. That's what my parents did with their house in California before they moved back to Pennsylvania. Looks great. And it's lower maintenance. He wants the plants in those pots to have the extra step of also being fake because he doesn't want to take care of them.
Steven's just like got the idea, like the longevity.
He does. The like whatever's going to last the longest and be the least amount of work.
He's probably being the most realistic, to be honest.
He is. And he pointed that out to me himself when I poo-pooed fake flowers. He said, I love you, but when you suggest putting in real plants, all I hear is you suggesting more work for me, because he's the one that usually takes care of our yard.
Oh, that's so funny.
Which is fair and valid. I don't garden. I like gardens, but I don't garden. Yeah. And I'm too poor to afford a gardener.
Gardens are hard, especially when you work full time. So I live in a neighborhood where it's mostly older folks and a lot. And I've actually like apologized for like how my yard looks, because we just don't have the time and we don't pay somebody to come and like take care of our yard.
Do a lot of your neighbors like pay like a landscaping company to come by?
Yes, almost all of them have hired. That's kind of like where I live. It's all like older folks who are retired, and they hire people to come take care of their yards. And they honestly told me, they were like, oh, don't worry about it. They're like, yeah, you work all day. And they're like, I don't. Like, I will go work on my yard or, you know, hire somebody to do it. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that your neighbors are like
that, but
reasonable people.
Yeah. It's funny because actually really recently so my neighbors across the street moved, and they fixed the house up before they left, and they painted the front door like a really pretty color. Like, it just looked really nice. I thought they did a great job. And then the house got bought. Uh-huh. And the people who moved in painted like undid all this like beautiful work, I thought, that my ex-neighbors did. And they painted a door a really ugly color, in my opinion. And it's funny because I was complaining about it to Adam and I was like, ugh, and we have to look at it because it's like the house across the street from us. And then I just started cracking up because like I was thinking about what my house looks like from their perspective, which is completely overgrown, like dead trees. We have a part of the lawn that's completely dead and all weeds. And I just started like busting up like, oh my God.
Like, who's the real neighborhood eyesore?
I have no leg to stand on here. Because they painted their door like a powder blue color that I didn't like. It was just ridiculous. Oh,
you know, that sounds kind of pretty to me, but you don't really like blue. Like, blue is not one of your preferred colors.
It's not a flattering door color with the like color of the house. Adam agrees with me.
I see. Okay. Okay.
We've complained about what color they painted their door before.
What color is the house?
It's like kind of like a light yellow. It doesn't go
well.
Are
you trying to look like a bird's egg? If you paint your door blue and you got a yellow house.
Something like that. And they painted the garage a dark color, so it looks like it's open all the time if we just like glance at it. It looks fine. They take very good care of their house and they have people come take care of the yard. It looks way better than ours. But, you know, homeownership things, I guess.
Homeownership things. Stephen and I, you just reminded me that, like, yes, you actually have like an actual lawn to take care of. I suddenly feel much better about, like, Stephen and I were bitching so much this morning about like taking care of our postage stamp in front of our row house.
You know what? But if you have a manual mower and it's like uphill and it's also tiny, like, why would you buy an electric one for that? I get it.
There's no reason. And we don't have an outlet in the front of our house, so we would have to run an extension cord like out of our living room to get down our stair, because, like, you know, you've seen our house, like, it's you have to go up a couple flights of stairs to get up to our porch because it's on a hill.
Yep.
So we're just bitch. Oh, also, like, the bush that used to, that, like, it doesn't, the bush that's in front of our basement window is totally dead now because we let a vine kill it. Like, a vine started covering it like 2 years ago. We did nothing about it. And this year, no flowers bloomed on it. Like, that bush is officially dead. That vine choked the life out of it. The vine is doing great.
One plant to rule them all.
Exactly. So now we've got to rip that out. Stephen was like, I'm fine with it because it makes it easier to yank that out. And then we can put some fake plants there.
Fake plants. You know what? I like Stephen's ideas. I think worth it. Honestly, plants are so hard to keep alive.
They are. And neither of us are gardeners. But I like to pretend I could be.
Same. I actually am I'm putting together another like garden, like square foot garden plot. We already have one out there. And even though I almost fail every year at actually making vegetables grow, this year I was like, let's do a second one. So I'll spend even more money on vegetables that I could buy for way cheaper at the grocery store. And I got Adam to get me wood to make a cucumber trellis because I'm like, now I'm gonna plant cucumbers. I think spring just does something to the human brain.
Agreed.
It makes us think we're plant people when we're not.
Well, it's so exciting. Spring is easily I think spring is the most exciting month of the year. Definitely. Because winter is so bleak and rainy and cold and sad. And then in the spring, it's like, oh my gosh, look at all these flowers.
Yep.
It's like in Bambi. Like, I think humans get Twitter-pated just along with everybody else.
Twitter-pated, absolutely, they do. But you know what? It's fine. Even though I haven't had luck in the past really with my vegetables, I've had a little luck. I feel like if I just keep trying, maybe I'll eventually get good at it or get really into it. I want to be like Heather. Our friends have yes. our friend Heather is like has the most amazing garden, and every time I've had the pleasure of being in her backyard, I'm just like, wow, I yeah. could do this.
Yes. Well, because it's aspirational. Like you go out there and you're like, wow, like this is so gorgeous. Like it's so well tended. There's so many different plants, like both vegetables and flowers and fruit trees.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Heather's the like master green thumb. Gardener. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just feels like, so like as I used to house sit for Heather and her husband, Matt, when we were, when I lived in Chico. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I would take care of her garden when she was gone. And I always felt like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm such a nature goddess. I'm out here tending to the plants for like a couple days. And I'm sure I could keep this up.
I have been blessed by the goddess to meet her.
Absolutely. I'm just like, I'm spraying everything with a hose. I'm probably actually not taking care of the plants the way they're supposed to be taken care of. oh my goodness. But yes, Heather is an amazing gardener.
It's fine. You know what? You gotta try stuff and you gotta learn. It's hard. There's a lot to learn with gardening. I feel like they're like, oh, you gotta know what zone you're in and what, like, what plants to plant together. And
I'm just going to throw some wildflower seeds on my front soil and call it good and be like, that's probably fine.
You know what? I think that's a good way to garden too. Just like chaos. It's like chaos. What a green chaos witch.
except I get fined if my yard is too chaotic. Like the city of Baltimore comes by and goes like, you owe us $50 for having weeds.
That's so funny.
Like Baltimore City is the HOA.
That's rude.
It is like, rude.
What if, yeah, what if, I also feel like that's elitist, because what if you don't have an ableist? Like, what if you don't have the time, the physical capability, the money, you know, there's,
city that's doesn't problematic. Care.
That's problematic, in it my is opinion.
I'm sure
unless
a
they
reason.
Came and fixed it for you, and then they could be like,
no, they're not going to do that. They don't know with what money.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But yeah. Oh, I killed a snake by accident.
Snake?
I feel really bad about it.
Oh, what kind of snake was it? How'd it happen? Tell me everything.
It was just a little garden snake. Just a little garden snake. I felt really bad. Because like, and this is partially our fault because we let our grass get so tall.
Okay, that's why they're charging you. Your out-of-control lawn is killing the wildlife.
Well, no, I think it's literally because they don't want your lawn to offer wildlife a home.
Oh. Interesting.
Or for some reason. I don't know.
So
like rats can live in there
die?
Or whatever. I pushed our mower over it.
Oh, yep.
So it got sliced up by the blades.
Oh, that's so sad.
It was really sad. I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Like that matters. Like,
yeah.
After the fact. That snake is dead.
Aww.
So I'm going to try to keep my lawn more trimmed so that like snakes don't feel like it's safe to live there.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Or send Obi through to like run around and scare everything off.
Yeah, there you go.
Before.
He's such a little fraidy cat though. Like he gets out on our lawn and like if a car door slams too loudly, he wants to go back in the house.
Oh, little baby.
He's a little wimp.
He's so sweet.
He's such a scary pit bull.
Exactly.
Who's such a weenie.
Aw. Little pity.
Yeah. Wow. I had a whole thing about May Day, but we...
Oh, do you want to tell me anyway?
Because that's tomorrow. So I pulled out this book of superstitions.
Ooh, is there one in there
for me? Yeah, there's the superstitions and traditions about May Day in there.
Yeah, tell me.
That I wanted to share with you. Because I was initially looking through this to see if like, are there any superstitions about accidentally killing a snake? Like, is that bad luck?
Interesting.
This book had nothing to say about it, so I'm fine.
I feel like no.
No, if anything, it's probably good luck considering like snakes are usually, people usually don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt bad about it because I love snakes. I think serpents are fucking awesome.
Aww.
So I feel so sad. But anyway, this is from the Natural Order section of the Book of Superstitions by Shelby L. Admani. And it's kind of, it's centered around like the morning dew in May. Mm-hmm. And so for centuries, people in Scotland believed there was no better skincare routine than waking up at the crack of dawn on the 1st of May, which is tomorrow when this mm-hmm. episode drops, as of when this episode drops, to wash their faces with morning dew.
Oh my God, I'm doing that.
Right?
100% I'm doing that.
Right? Like that's all, it's such big brain thinking. Like it sounds, that sounds so refreshing.
That's a very fun like superstition.
I think so too. So the thinking behind this is originally, you know, a druidic practice, like a Celtic spiritual practice. Druids believed in cultivating close relationships with nature and the environment and would therefore perform different rituals to raise the odds of better harvesting seasons. And one of their main beliefs was that moisture produced in the natural world was innately holy and a necessary element of vitality and growth. You know, so, you know, the ritual at the center of the May dew belief was a festival known as Beltane, which usually took place on May 1st to celebrate the transition from spring to summer. And this celebration involves massive bonfires and feasting. And all the houses in the community would douse the fires that had kept them warm over the winter and then light a new one using flames from a communal bonfire, clearing out the old to make way for the new. And then on Beltane morning, which is May 1st, people would wake up early in the morning, head to the nearest field, and cleanse themselves with the dew produced after this festival. Mm-hmm. Doing so was said to ensure beauty, good health, and good luck for the new year.
I love it. That's awesome. Isn't
that beautiful? I love that. I think it's such a great tradition.
I'm doing it. Also, I want to throw more parties with bonfires.
Yes.
I wish I had a bigger plot of land to do that. That'd be so cool.
More fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to go. I actually really want to get like a little fire pit so I can do mini celebrations by myself for things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the solstice and there's usually like a fire element to all of them.
Humans like fire. Fire is very cleansing. Fire's a very important tool to keeping us alive.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I love that. That was really
cool. You're welcome. I also thought that was nice. So, you know, maybe tomorrow morning we'll all go out and wash our faces with some morning dew. Maybe my lawn will have grown back by then.
Well, for this week, I think we are both doing another cold reading.
Sure are. We're taking very gentle care of ourselves this April.
Yeah, I was sick, so I feel like we've also been a little bit behind on recordings, and our next episode might end up coming out a week later. We'll see. I've just been really busy.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll make an announcement on our Facebook or Instagram or whatever. We'll mm-hmm. make some kind of announcement somewhere. If we do push our recording schedule back by a week, but we've been having a time over here on Fairy Tale Fix. We're still going to keep producing all of the excellent content that you have come to love/take road trips with.
Yep.
But we might be a week behind after this one.
Yeah.
Be patient with us.
We appreciate your patience. Thank you.
Thank you. But I think I am on the first story today.
You are. What are you reading today? Do you have one in mind or are you doing like a random one?
Oh, I'm doing a cold reading, baby. And it's going to be from the Brothers Grimm.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah. I'm just, you know what? I'm not trying to think too hard today. I'm just here for a good time.
Those are usually some of our favorites.
Absolutely.
I'm here for it.
The Brothers Grimm stories are the reason we got into this in the first place. So. All right, tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Oh, I'm doing this one.
What is it?
The other one was a poem and I didn't feel like it. This one is called The Castle of Murder. And I...
Oh my God, yes.
I want to do that one real bad. So.
The Castle of Murder. We haven't done that one, have we?
We haven't done this one. I don't remember anything called The Castle of Murder.
Okay, you're right. I'm looking it up why does that sound so familiar? I bet it's because I've seen that title
mm-hmm.
and I've like wanted to know what it was about.
Well, we're going to find out today.
The Castle of Murder.
It's about 2 pages long.
Okay.
So I think we can still make 3 predictions on
this
one.
Yeah, let's do it.
You go first.
A little quick and dirty. Quick and dirty episode.
Yeah.
My first prediction for the Castle of Murder is that there's an angry skeleton.
Yes. Somewhere. Oh my gosh, that's an A++ prediction. I love it.
Thank you. My second prediction is that in the Castle of Murder. That's such a good title.
Isn't it?
My second prediction is bats.
Bats!
And that's it. And prediction number 3. My third prediction is that there's a key.
Ooh, yes.
An important key. All right, what are yours?
There's a ghost.
Yes. I hope so. What if it was a love story between a ghost and an angry skeleton?
Oh my God. I think that's way more fun. The ghost. I've just decided there's a ghost in this. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
Is trying to warn someone.
Ooh. Ghostly warning.
Very ghostly warning, yes. Very, very Hamlet.
Oh, I love it. Perfect.
And the third one is that there is only one murder.
Only one murder. In the Castle of Murder?
I know. It's a hot take, but that I think there's only one murder.
All right. Tell us.
I'm so excited about this.
Tell us. I'm ready.
Tell us. Okay. The Castle of Murder. Once upon a time, there was a shoemaker who had 3 daughters. One day, when the shoemaker was out, a well-dressed nobleman came with a splendid carriage and servants, and he appeared to be very rich. He fell in love.
Don't listen to him. It's a lie.
It's a trap and a trick.
He's going to take you to the Castle of Murder.
This is going to be a Bluebeard variation. I know it. I know it in my bones. He fell in love with one of the beautiful daughters, who thought herself fortunate to have found such a rich gentleman, and she gladly agreed to ride off with him.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. As they were on their way, it turned dark, and he asked her, "The moon's shining very bright. My horses are dashing into the night. Sweet love, are you having any doubts?"
Ooh, I love it. Is he the ghost? He's the ghost.
The ghost. "No, why should I have any doubts? I'm well taken care of by you," said the girl who's known him for 6 hours.
Sweet baby. Sweet baby angel.
But she was lying, because indeed she did feel a certain uneasiness. When they were in a large forest, she asked him if they would soon be there. "Yes," he said. "Do you see the light in the distance? That's my castle." Vampire!
Oh my God. I hope so.
No, he was out in the daylight.
We didn't predict vampire.
That I know. We're silly people.
Something's happening. This is very intriguing.
So at last they arrived, and everything was very beautiful. The next day, he said to her that he had to leave her for a few days because he had to take care of some important and urgent business. However, he wanted to leave all the keys with her. Yes, Chelsea.
Yes! Important key!
Important key! She could see the whole castle and what treasures she, as mistress, now possessed. When he was gone, she went through the entire castle and found that everything was beautiful. She was completely satisfied until she came to the cellar, where an old woman was sitting and scraping out intestines.
Oh. I love it, though.
Intestines of what?
Surprise old woman in your new castle.
Scraping out guts.
Yeah. Like,
"My goodness, Granny, what are you doing there?" "I'm scraping intestines, my child. Tomorrow I'll be scraping yours, too."
No! Oh, my God. I love her. That's so good.
The maiden was so terrified by her words that she dropped the key she was holding into a basin of blood, and she couldn't wash the blood off the key.
Yep.
It's Bluebeard.
I can't believe I guessed key. Like,
I'm really proud of you for guessing important key.
I'm so excited because I was still listening to our episode from last week, and I was really upset about the amulet thing. So I was a little surprised in myself.
You're like re-upset.
Such a specific item, but.
Now your death is certain, said the old woman, because my master will be able to see you were in the chamber, and no one is allowed to enter here except him and me.
And who are you? His mommy.
Maybe.
I bet.
Like a wibitch witch. I don't know. I'm saying things. One must indeed know that this was the way her two sisters had lost their lives before her.
Did we know that they were dead?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm reading back through what we've read so far. No. It just said the rich guy fell in love with one of the beautiful daughters.
I assume they were all still alive, but...
Yeah, I guess not.
Okay.
I guess he has married all three of them and killed them.
What a player.
Absolutely. And if it's like the same... He keeps coming back. Are you not curious what happened to your sister? Just then, a hay wagon began to drive away and leave the castle. The old woman told her the only way she could save herself was by hiding under the hay and driving off in the wagon. And this is what the maiden did. In the meantime, the nobleman returned home and asked where the maiden was. Oh, said the old woman, since I had no more work for today, and since she was due to be slaughtered tomorrow, I decided to kill her. Here's a lock of her hair.
Woman.
Me too.
She's at like, first, she's I thought she was being super creepy, but then she gave her like an escape route.
I know.
And now she's covering for her.
She is. This is sort of like a what might have happened if Bopalucci had been able to be cool.
Uh-huh. For real. Instead of just murdering her immediately.
Instead of just murdering her.
It's also very like the devil and the three golden hairs, like the devil's mom or the giant's mom is helpful to the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Moon. I remember that one. So the old woman says, she gives the nobleman a lock of the maiden's hair and continues to say, the dogs ate up the heart, the warm blood, and all the rest. I'm scraping out the intestines. Mm. The nobleman was glad she was dead.
He's like, good, I didn't have to do it.
Good.
But don't, isn't that...
I went to all the trouble of marrying everybody. I'm glad she died.
What part of the murdering process do you like? Just that that they're dead or?
I think he just likes it when women are dead.
I have so many questions.
Meanwhile, the maiden arrived in the hay wagon at a nearby castle where the hay was supposed to be delivered. She climbed out of the hay and told everything she knew. Then she was asked to remain, and after some time had passed, the lord of this castle invited all the gentry of the surrounding region to a great feast. Since the nobleman from the Castle of Murder had been invited, the maiden changed her features and clothes so that she wouldn't be recognized. Once they were all there, everyone had to tell a tale. When it was the maiden's turn, she told the particular story that concerned the nobleman and made his heart tremble with fear, and he tried to force his way out.
That's fun.
I know, that is fun. I like that. It's a good twist.
I like that.
She's like, that guy kills people.
And his
name
was...
I've seen his murder castle. However, the lord of this castle had planned ahead of time to have the authorities ready to take our fine count to prison. His castle was destroyed, and all the treasures were given to the maiden for her own.
Yay!
Yay, okay. Afterwards, she married the lord's son in the house where she had been so well received, and they lived together for many, many years, the end.
Yeah, that was... like a very Spark Notes style fairy tale. where a lot of details were left out. Mm-hmm. Also, what happened to the old lady?
Mm-hmm. What How happened to her related sisters?
To that guy? Yeah. It was the Wish version of Bluebeard.
The Wish version.
or what is it? Temu? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, no, the Wish.com version.
Yeah, exactly. One of those knockoff websites.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, I think that the inclusion of the old woman was a fun deviation.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, like, so her sisters are dead and like you didn't think that should be mentioned earlier in the story? Yeah. Who yep. is the old woman? Like you said, like, how is she related?
Yeah. So I got 1 point for an important key.
You sure did.
Which is exciting.
I got no points.
Only one murder? Was there any?
There was no murder.
Yeah, not like in the story. All the murders that already happened.
Yep. All the murders had already taken place.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? That was kind of disappointing.
It needed a ghost. What if the fix is that the old lady was a ghost?
That's funny. Oh. I love the old lady as a ghost. That's great.
And our sisters came back as angry skeletons, and there were more bats in the story.
Absolutely. Because ooh.
If the old lady was a ghost, there would be a ghostly warning.
I know. Okay. So the old lady is a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
And her sisters are angry skeletons.
And her sisters are angry skeletons.
And there's some bats.
And that would have made the story better by far.
And the guy who does the murdering gets murdered, so there's only one murder. And that way all of our fixes would be
Good. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, because he goes to prison in this. When like, yeah, that's no. No. No prison. Kill him.
Because I also like how it doesn't say anything about how where she runs off to that they know he's a murderer. She just tells the story, so he's worried. But then it's like, oh, but the guy already knew that he was a murderer and was...
Yeah. Yeah, this was badly written.
That was a mess. Whoever told
the story is bad.
That was a mess. Ruth Manning Sanders needs to get in there and fix it up.
Fix this one, Ruth.
Yeah.
Trying to see if there's like a really short one that I can do to make up for it. But like, what book were you planning on reading from?
I am reading a story that some listeners sent us.
How long is it?
It is very short.
Okay.
I would say if this were in a page, maybe like a page and a half. But I also could read a different story if you don't want to read another one.
No, I do want, because I just flipped to the next story.
Yeah.
That would be shortest after this. Yeah. So this one's like four paragraphs.
Let's do it.
The title is The Carpenter and the Turner.
Okay. The Carpenter and the Turner.
And then I think we get to each make one prediction.
What's your prediction?
There's a murder.
Make you go first. Oh, there's a murder?
Yeah.
There's a murder. It's called The Carpenter and the Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that doesn't help me at all.
I don't know what a turner even does.
I was just about to say that. What is a turner?
Let's look that up.
The carpenter is the protagonist.
I like it.
Because Jesus was a carpenter, so...
Okay. A person who is skilled in turning wood on a lathe.
So like two bros. Ooh, no. I want to make it. It's a bro. What do they call that? A buddy road trip like story.
Okay. A buddy comedy.
Yeah. It's a buddy comedy. I hope. I want them to be friends.
I want them to kill each other.
What if they're friends and they kill somebody else?
Ooh, that's fun, too.
It could be both.
Weekend at Donald's.
Except they're the heroes instead of Donald.
Yeah. A carpenter and a turner wanted to see who could make the best piece of work. The carpenter made a dish that could swim by itself.
What?
Well, it can swim by itself. Pay attention. That made perfect sense.
I'm the stupid one.
You're the stupid one.
I don't know what that means, but you know what? It's fine. Maybe it will become clear.
Just, we're going to leave it alone. The turner made wings that he could use to fly. That makes sense, actually.
That's way that's cooler very than a dish that can swim by itself.
Swim by itself? Who wants that?
Come on,
that?
Carpenter.
Everyone said the carpenter's masterpiece was better.
What? Maybe because they could use the dish that swims by itself, but they couldn't use his wings because it was like the turner's wings for himself.
Well, but why would you need that? When, like, who doesn't want to fly or think maybe, that flying is cool?
What if it's like a dish that washes itself?
That would be something better. But
let's pretend that's what it is.
I agree. That at least makes sense.
Because that doesn't, yeah. I think I'm wondering might be if that's just a weird thing.
Yeah, it might be just a weird translation thing. Because, like, objectively speaking, being able to fly is way cooler.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Okay.
But for whatever reason, everyone says the carpenter's thing is better.
All right.
So they're the stupid ones. So the turner took his wings, put them on, and flew out of the country. He flew the entire day until he came to another country where a prince saw him flying and asked to borrow the pair of wings.
Because that prince is very smart.
Very smart.
He's way smarter than those townspeople.
Absolutely. The prince knows a genius when he sees one. Mm-hmm. Since the prince promised to pay him well, the turner gave him the wings and the prince flew to another kingdom. There he saw a tower illuminated by many lights. You can see that the wings are already more useful.
Yeah.
Than the stupid dish.
I still don't know what a dish that swims by itself means.
I don't get it.
I just don't know. And who cares? Like, flying cares? Would still be cooler than a dish that cleans itself.
Yes, that would still be cooler. Okay. So he sees a tower illuminated by many lights. He decided to swoop down to the ground and find out what the occasion was. When he learned that the most beautiful princess in the world lived there, he became very curious.
All right.
In the evening, he flew through an open window and was able to be with the princess, but not for very long because they were betrayed and the prince and the princess were sentenced to die at the stake.
Oh my God, there's your murder, Abby.
There's my murder.
And why? I love so many details.
I love these short ones because things happen so abruptly.
What happened? Why is this called The Carpenter and the Turner?
Why was it called The White Snake? However, the prince had taken his wings with him, and as the flames flared, he tied the wings on and flew with the princess to his homeland, where he descended to the ground. The Aww. Wings are so cool and useful and good.
Yeah. Wings win, hands down.
Since everyone had been sad during his absence, he revealed his true identity. Okay, was he in disguise? And, oh my God, I love this so much, and was elected king.
It's democracy. I love
it's
that.
It's a democracy. It's a democratic monarchy.
They elected the prince to be king after he also revealed who he was. Oh my God.
What the fuck?
This makes no sense.
None. Oh boy. Okay. After some time had passed, the father of the maiden who had been carried away by the prince made it known that whoever brought back his daughter would receive half his kingdom. When the prince learned about this, he gathered together an army and brought the princess to her father, who was forced to keep his promise. So I guess this is a story about how this particular kingdom expanded.
It's something.
The end. That's it.
Wow.
That's the whole story.
That was 0 points for both of us. They That's almost so, got murdered. You were so close.
I was so close. And I think I would have liked the story more if they both died at the stake.
Me too. Yeah, that was really weird. I would okay. fix that story in, by not including it at all.
Same. Same, 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 same. Well, those were two kind of nothing stories from the Brothers Grimm. You're welcome, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the cookie crumbles on a cold read sometimes. I hope our listener sent you a much better story.
We're going to find out. Logan, our good friend Logan, and his, I don't know if you remember his lovely, beautiful, wonderful fiance, Shelby.
Yes, Shelby.
Sent us a story specifically for me to read to you.
Oh no.
Should I have you make predictions before I even tell you what the story is called?
Yeah. I think we should do that because I think I have a guess.
Maybe make one prediction before you know what it is.
This story will feature a cock.
Huh. Interesting prediction. I'm going to tell you what it's called now.
You're on my shit list.
I think it was Logan who sent it.
Oh, Logan, you too.
Both of you.
Both of you.
It's called The Cat and the Rooster. And it is a Ukrainian folktale.
Okay. How many more predictions do I get?
Two more. It's pretty short, but, you know, 1 hour.
Okay. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay. The cat kills the rooster.
Oh, okay.
I want a murder.
I want a murder. You deserve one, too.
I do. Someone should die. There's important jewelry.
No, I like it. Important jewelry. All right. I also have not read this story, so I'm going to make predictions. I'm doing a cold reading because I feel like that's more fun.
Absolutely. I love cold readings.
So I am going to predict that, sadly, the cat and the rooster are not friends.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah, I want them to be, but I don't think that's it.
That's fair.
My second prediction is that it's an origin story of something.
Ooh, fun. Okay.
And my third prediction is that somebody tries to eat someone.
Nice.
I don't know. Maybe the cat like tries it. To eat the rooster or vice versa.
I mean,
versa.
I hope so because I want the rooster to die.
Without further ado.
Lay it on me. I'm excited.
The cat and the rooster. Once upon a time, there lived a cat and a cock who loved one another dearly. Oh! It's funny because
I'm sorry.
It says rooster in the title, but...
A cock and a pussy who love each other dearly.
Oh, dang it. I should have predicted they were friends. Fuck. Okay. The cat would play his fiddle and the cock would sing. The cat would go out to get food for the two of them and the cock would stay at home and look after the house. Every time Cat prepared to go out, he would say to the cock, "You mustn't let anyone into the house, cock, or go out yourself, no matter who calls you." Man, I really wish it were called The Pussy and the Cock.
Me too, a little bit.
I won't. Don't
you can't
you
go
worry.
Out, cock.
You can't
no matter
go out.
Who tempts you.
I won't. Don't you worry, the cock would reply. And he would get into the house. And, yeah, for real. He would get into the house and stay there till Cat came home. Now, a fox.
Till his pussy came home.
A fox once saw the cock and decided to lure him out and catch him.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. A silver fox?
She crept up to the window of their house when the cat was out and called out, come out, cock, and join me, and I'll give you the grains of wheat and some water, clear and sweet. But the cock called out in reply, cock-a-doodle-doo, I'll do without, for I promised puss I'd not go out. I love this so far. The fox saw that this was not the way to go about things. So one night, she crept up to the house, threw some wheat grains under the window for cock to see, and hid herself behind a bush. By and by, the cat went out hunting as usual, and the cock opened the window and looked out. There was no one about, he saw, but there, scattered on the ground, lay some luscious grains of wheat. The cock was eager to eat them, and he said to himself, I think I'll go out and peck at those grains for a bit. There is no one about, so no one will see me or tell puss on me. But no sooner did he step over the threshold than the fox was upon him. She seized him by the scruff of his neck.
It's a trap!
And away she ran to her own house, and the cock called out to cat, save me, brother puss, I pray. Foxy is taking me far away. For her bushy tail, I can't see the trail. If you don't come, friend, I will meet my end. Now, Cat was a long way off, and he did not hear the cock. And by the time he returned home, it was too late for him to go after the fox. He tried to overtake her, but could not. So back he went home and wept and cried.
Aww.
But he got to thinking after a while, and taking his fiddle and a bright pictured sack, set out for Fox's house. Now, the fox had four daughters and a son, and before going out hunting that day, she told them to keep an eye on the cock and to heat a pot full of water so that as soon as she was back, they could kill him and cook him for dinner.
As they should. Roosters are terrible.
Poor, poor cock. And
that poor, poor cock.
And mind you, let no one into the house while I'm away, she said. And away she went, and the cat came up to the house, stood under the window, and began to play and sing the following song. Foxy's house is big and tall. Her four little daughters are beauties all. And Pilipko, her only son, is very sweet to look upon. Step outside, young Foxy do, and I'll sing some more for you.
Ooh, okay.
Now, the fox's eldest daughter felt that she must go and see who's playing, and she said to the others, stay in the house, and I'll go see who plays so well. She came out of the house, and the cat rapped her smartly on the nose, whisked her into a sack, and began to play and sing again. Foxy's house is big and tall. Her four little daughters are beauties all. And Pilipko, her only son, is very sweet to look upon. Step outside, young Foxy do, and I'll sing some more for you.
Love how flirty all of this sounds. Just sounds like a big
it does. This is very flirty. I feel like this is very like somebody did something on purpose.
I can't help but feel, and this is probably just because I find the words cock and pussy so funny. When they
there's
make
a reason.
It just all feels to me like this is like an elaborate folktale that have been woven out of someone's very messy relationship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
The fox's second daughter went out to see who was playing, and the cat wrapped her on the nose and whisked her into his sack. And the very same thing happened to the fox's two younger daughters. There sat their brother, Pilipko, the only named one in the whole story.
Obviously.
I guess the cat's name is Puss.
Yeah, we've got Puss, Cock, and Pilipko.
There sat their brother Pilipko in the house and waited for his sisters, but they did not come back. I think I'll go out and get them to come home, he said to himself, or our mother will give me a good hiding when she gets back. He stepped outside and the cat rapped him on the nose too and whisked him into the sack. Then he hanged the sack on a dry willow tree and ran into the fox's house. He found the cock and untied him, and the two of them ate all of Fox's food, overturned the pot of boiling water, broke all of the dishes, and ran home.
Oh my God!
And the cock did just as the cat told him ever after and never, never disobeyed him. The end.
The end. Absolutely. This is what happens when you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know?
You gotta listen to your puss.
Yeah. Gotta listen to your puss. Mm-hmm. You know? Sometimes cocks make really stupid decisions.
This story was collected and edited by Michael Terletsky.
Oh my gosh.
And it's on RussianCrafts.com. I'll post it in our show notes if you want to look through. I think there's like a more folk tales and other like fun, cool stuff that you can check out. So yeah, thank you, Logan, so much for sending us that story. That was really fun.
That was really fun. I love that. Yeah, they just really fucked up Fox's home afterwards. Like they just, you're trying to home wreck. Well, we're literally going to wreck your home.
That's the best part. I love it. It's like not just that they ate all Fox's food, but overturned the pot of boiling water, broke all the dishes.
Yep, absolutely.
And also they didn't hurt any of Fox's kids. They just trapped them.
Which that's good.
No murder.
But that's fine. I'll take it. I wasn't like hoping for kids getting murdered.
Yeah. It was very wholesome.
Very wholesome. I liked the story. That was a great story.
Yeah. That was a really cute, like wholesome story.
It's very enjoyable. Thank you, Logan.
All right.
That made me giggle.
Yes.
It's still tickling me. So I take it back. You're not on thin ice.
And let's see. Oh, somebody tries to eat someone. I totally got 1 point.
You totally did. Damn it.
You got a point because it features a cock before I even told you anything about it.
Yeah. Well, if it's a story for me, I know it's going to be someone trying to fuck with me.
I love it. You held it together really well, I think.
Thank you. I was trying. I only lost it a couple times.
All right.
Because I think we're good. I just can't help but picture not a rooster.
I know. Me either. Especially when it's like cock and puss. Like, come on. It's somebody right was doing something there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Logan and Shelby. Much appreciated. And that's going to do it for us today on Fairy Tale Fix. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We very much appreciate all of you. If you would like to support the show, you can do so a couple of different ways. The ways that are free 99 is going over to Spotify and leaving us a 5-star rating, going to Apple Podcasts or Audible or wherever you can leave reviews and leaving us a nice review, just like Amused My. We really appreciate that. It's nice in general is to get feedback on what you think of the show, how the show's going, and then also reviews just help other people realize that this show is in fact for them and also not for 16-year-olds probably. Yes, that's that way. You can always reach out to us on social media. You can check out our Instagram. You can also go over to our Discord. You can find links for both of those on our website. And also on our website, if you have a little cash and you are inclined to spend it on us, we'd be really appreciative, very grateful. And you can go to fairytalefix.cash to sign up for one of our Patreon tiers. You can get like merch and books, and there's a bunch of bonus episodes up there right now that you can get them all for the low, low price of $6. Woo-hoo. So go check that out. If you have any other thoughts or any questions or just want to say hello, you can always email us as well at info@fairytalefixpod.com. And so in the Castle of Murder, the young maiden encounters an old lady ghost who offers her a ghostly warning, the skeletons of her sisters who are now living their best lives as skeleton ladies, mm-hmm. and there are a bunch of bats, just a whole mess of bats.
What if the ghostly warning is in the form of bats?
Yes. And then instead of going to prison, the murder lord is murdered himself as he richly deserves. And the second Perfect. Story, just no one bothered to tell it because it was nothing.
And the third story was pretty much great. I don't have any fixes, honestly.
No fixes. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
They just wrecked up the place, and that was pretty funny. And Fox learned her lesson.
Sure did. Don't home wreck.
Yeah, exactly.
And they all lived happily ever after. The end. The end.